I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Walking up the escalation ladder, Mike, in terms of trying to cut off a major revenue source, oil, from selected ships coming out with oil on board and other ships being prevented from going in, that is shutting down a significant amount of oil that would, that ships that would be coming to Venezuela to pick up oil. They're just not coming because of what is happening here. So this is demonstrating, I think, patience on the part of the administration, but also persistence here, and squeeze Maduro and particularly the people around him, because they're keeping him in power, and they're going to be saying to themselves, is it worth it to put up with Maduro and doing this? That is where we are. The president and his team have other instruments that they can do to squeeze him even further, and we're gradually walking up this escalation ladder, as I mentioned.
That is a concern as we continue to crack down on Venezuelan, the oil coming out, the cargo ships hitting more cocaine boats, the concern that we're beginning to escalate. On one hand, that's very good. Maduro realizes we're not taking our foot off the pedal. We're coming after you if you're going to continue to violate the oil sanctions we have in place. And if you're not going to target those ships and knock them out of the water or take control of them, then your sanctions are not worth anything. And that's where we stand right now. Here we are on December 23rd, 2025. Hey, guys, you have to be not naughty for at least a couple more days. Can you hang on? December 23rd, 2025. Welcome to Larry Connors USA. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m., and we bring you news, analysis, opinion, and education. I promise you, you will leave this hour and the next and every hour with more knowledge than you had when we start each hour. In our second hour today, Trump shutting down a lot of the offshore turbines, those in place, those under construction, and those were planned for the future. He's shutting them down. And one of the issues being national security. Now, how do the wind turbines fit into national security? Numerous ways. Plus, in our second hour, dream a little dream of you winning the Powerball jackpot. $1.7 billion. Can you imagine that? And where would you get the most money, depending on which state you live in? If you're going to dream, you might as well figure out, where do I want to win? Or you just want to win anyway. I'm for you. Win anytime, anywhere you can. Later this hour, the story behind the story. Paul Harvey, the man and the birds. This is a story Paul Harvey would often tell at Christmas. It was not his creation. And he acknowledged he tried often to find the source so he could properly credit whoever wrote it. But he also decided in the end, this is one of those that regardless of who gets credit or doesn't get credit for it, it is worth repeating. And I think it is today. And today, our story behind the story is Paul Harvey himself and the story of the man and the birds at Christmas. So we have these oil tankers that we continue to board. And in fact, Trump has said, we will take these oil tankers and we will probably maybe confiscate the oil and bring it to our strategic petroleum reserve. Remember the ones that Joe Biden drained while he was in office? And he did it just to underwrite and underscore the gas prices. So travelers at holiday would see lower gasoline prices and say, oh, Joe Biden, you're doing such a great job, when he was stealing from our petroleum emergency reserves. They are there for, exactly as I said, emergencies. But Joe Biden was more than willing to suck it up, spread it across the nation just for political points. And that's exactly why he was doing it. Make no mistake about it. But Louisiana Senator Kennedy says we are ready to go after those tankers. We have every right to do so.
This is illegal oil being moved in illegal tankers. We have judicial warrants to seize those tankers. It's about time we did it. That oil goes to China. Some goes to India. A lot of it goes to Cuba. Cuba gets 40 to 50% of its oil from Venezuela. Without that oil, the communist regime in Cuba will eventually fail. So I think we ought to choke off Venezuela's money. We got them down. Let's choke them to death.
Absolutely. And yet you have some in Congress, and including some Republicans, saying, well, let's hold up here. We're not sure you have proper authority to do it. We're going to get into that in more detail, but I'll tell you this. We are seizing this Venezuelan oil, stopping it from going where it's going, and Trump has said, we are going to keep it. We currently control about 3.7 million barrels of Venezuelan crude. That's just from two tankers, and we've gone after a third. Trump said last night, we are going to keep this oil. They tried to run it past us. It was going to go to our enemies. We now have control of it, and we're not going to give it back, and they're certainly not going to be going to our enemies. This will escalate tensions with China. It buys as much as 75% of the Venezuelan oil. And they're a big underwriter of Venezuela and Nicolas Maduro. And of course, as I point out, members of Congress, and I mentioned some Republicans, but you know there are Democrats that think Trump is out of his lane by carrying out these tanker raids and possibly escalation, as General Jack Keane had pointed out. And one of those speaking out, he got questioned on the program, Virginia Senator Tim Kaine.
Do you think the United States should be pursuing regime change with Venezuela?
No, we should be using sanctions and other tools at our disposal.
Wait a minute.
To punish this dictator who is violating the human rights of his civilians and has run the Venezuelan economy into the ground. But I'll tell you, we should not be waging war against Venezuela. Man. We definitely should not be waging war without a vote of Congress.
General Jack Keane will set him straight in a moment, but Senator Tim Kaine made that remark, and I'm going to ask Jerome to play back the very beginning. He makes statement that this is what we should be doing, but the question then is, well, how the hell are you going to do that? Once again, Virginia Senator Tim Kaine.
No, we should be using sanctions and other tools at our disposal.
Right there, right there. We're going to use sanctions. Well, how do you have the sanctions if you're not going to impose shutting down the oils? Oh, they love to talk pie in the sky, rainbows for everyone, unicorns everywhere. We're all so happy. We should have sanctions to stop Venezuela from doing this. Okay, we have them. And what are you going to do about it? Well, we shouldn't be stopping the oil shipments. Why are you going to enforce the sanctions? Are you really that clueless? That might have hit a nerve there. I think many of them truly are. They talk the talk, but they will not back it up. Donald Trump has made it clear. We are going to not just talk the talk. We're going to walk the walk, and we will enforce the sanctions. And Venezuela has been served notice, and the same thing for these cocaine boats. We knocked another one out of the water. Good. I have no loss and fear about those on those cocaine boats. Now, they might not have wanted to been there. I'll be very clear with you. They might have been forced to go on that boat when they know that any moment hell will rain from the sky. But maybe members of their family are being held hostage or threatened. If you don't go on it, we're going to kill your family. I don't know the dynamics behind that. And for that reason, I would have concern and sympathy for them. But they have a regime that is trying to get more drugs into our nation. And they've been working on it. Now, once again, back to retired four-star General Jack Keane talking about the sanctions and how they do or do not affect.
What the Senate is referring to in terms of sanctions and other means just haven't flat worked. Mm. They didn't work during the Biden administration, and President Trump came back and recognized that none of this has worked. And look at the previous presidents have had to deal with the same thing, narco-trafficking, fraudulent elections. In 89, President H.W. Bush did a physical takeover of the regime in Panama just for that reason, a narco-trafficker, a human trafficker, and a fraudulent election. And President Clinton did much the same in 90. Before in Haiti, when a dictator deposed a democratically elected president, and President Clinton wanted that president returned to power. So there's precedent for this. Congress was consulted, mm-hmm. but neither one of those presidents, a Democrat or a Republican, sought approval from the Congress. Right. The Congress is being consulted about this. They may disagree with it, certainly, and they have a right to do that. But I don't believe the administration is going to seek their approval.
Great. And I'm glad he pointed out what Clinton had done previously. You never heard the left cry out about it at that time, did you? We all know what the issue is. It's Donald Trump, because Trump is in office, and they continue to look for anything they can to undermine him. And the Epstein files, of course, is part of it. More of those files got released. Some of the previously released have now been released again after additional redactions pulled off of them. Redactions were pulled back. You having trouble keeping up with this? What got released? Is it redacted? Is it going to be released again without the redactions? Well, you know you can count on the legacy media looking for anything that would link to Donald Trump.
The Justice Department has now released a big new batch of documents in the Jeffrey Epstein investigation. And these include new details about Epstein's one-time friendship with President Trump. Look, there is a lot to go through. We said it's like more than 10,000 pages. So we are digging through this. But this is what is seen so far. In a 2020 email, an assistant U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York wrote that Trump traveled on Epstein's private jet, quote, more times than previously has been reported, at least eight times between 1993 and 96. And on a flight in 1993, according to the email, there was just three passengers, Trump, Epstein, and what's described as a 20-year-old woman. Being mentioned in a trove of investigatory documents does not demonstrate criminal wrongdoing, a reminder. And Trump has not been accused of being involved in Epstein's crimes.
I'm glad that CNN had at least the news ethics to point out Trump has not been accused or linked to anything just because his name was on the plane. Now, if there's more to it, I'm more than willing to have that exposed. I want full transparency. And I'll have to tell you, CNN has taken that step, say, but keep in mind, he has not really been charged or linked to any wrongdoing. They are compelled lately to do that because they've seen what happens if you cross Trump and you make up slanderous lies. CBS 60 Minutes, you're listening? Trump does not sit back and let all this continue to happen. It's slanderous, libelous material again. So CNN realized we better walk the line. We better act like journalists. I know they had to look it up, had to figure out how to spell it, and then see what exactly does a journalist do. You put balanced reporting. You can talk all you want about Trump being on board the plane, blah, 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 but at the bottom line, there's nothing to link him to any of the Epstein scandal so far. I'll admit that, so far. And this latest drop of documents, CNN admits we've got a whole team going through them. I'll bet they do.
And one of those prosecutors writes, I'm going to read from this letter because it is what was new to the prosecutors at the time and what is new to us now, receiving these documents now in the public sphere from the Justice Department. The prosecutor, unnamed, an assistant U.S. attorney of the Southern District of New York, wrote on January 8th of 2020, the flight records we received yesterday reflect that Donald Trump traveled on Epstein's private jet many more times than previously has been reported or that we were aware, that's the Justice Department in 2020, including during the period we would expect to charge in a Maxwell case. On one flight in 1993, Donald Trump and Epstein are the only two passengers listed. On another, the only three passengers are Epstein, Trump, and a then 20-year-old. On two other flights, two of the passengers respectively were women who would be possible witnesses in a Maxwell case, and then the assistant U.S. attorney concludes this email by telling his or her supervisors or superiors in the Justice Department didn't want any of this to be a surprise down the road.
So that's what some of the stuff has been coming out about Epstein, and CNN is all over blanket coverage. Where can we? I know they're doing a search every time they look at where's Trump's name. Do we have any word that begins with a T and TR, TRU, anything that we can find Trump linked into? But again, they had to admit there's nothing to show that Trump is linked to any criminal activity. The DOJ obviously pointing out some of the materials include, quote, untrue and sensationalist claims about the president. Again, I'm not going to give him a blanket pass. If there's something there, I want to see it. But I want you to constantly keep in mind every time the left begins to bark about this, what's causing them to go up the tree? Confusion? Or just do what we can to treat Trump. That's all. And, of course, here comes one of their great crusaders, Congressman Eric Swalwell.
What do you say to critics who think that the release so far is cherry-picked or inconsequential?
I don't know the full extent to Donald Trump's involvement with Jeffrey Epstein. Nobody other than Donald Trump knows the answer to that, but he is sure acting like somebody who doesn't want you to know the answer to that, Laura. And as you know, as a federal prosecutor, judges instruct juries every day that a witness or defendant's efforts to conceal evidence or destroy evidence can be used to infer they did something wrong. So I don't know why he would act so guilty if he didn't do anything wrong. But the American people at least deserve to know how close their president was to the most notorious child sex trafficker in American history.
Can the Department of Justice face any real meaningful consequences for not fully complying with the, and the name says it all, the Epstein Files Transparency Act?
The bottom line is this. For the last year, Democrats have asked Donald Trump to release the Epstein files. Instead, all he's done is release George Santos. Well, that's preposterous, and he should just be forthcoming with the American people.
Congressman Eric Swalwell, you stepped over the bottom line was not what you just said. The bottom line was the Biden administration had the files for 4 years. What did they do about it? When were you in there pushing, break them all open, let's have everybody's name out? When did you do that? Oh, that's right. You were too busy with Bang Bang, the Chinese communist spy, your lover. And we never got to the full line of questioning regarding Swalwell, did we? Nancy Pelosi stepped in and said, everything's good and I'm going to put him on the House Intel Committee. Swalwell, how about you explain that before you go after Trump on these salacious charges? This was documented by the FBI. Yes, the FBI, the same one that worked for Biden, that Swalwell was having patty cake fun with the Chinese spy, Bang Bang. And then Pelosi puts him on the House Intel Committee. You want answers to that, Swalwell? Can you put those out in front of us? Would you be willing to? I'm wasting my breath here. Swalwell wants you to look back. Don't bring that up, Larry. I don't want folks to remember that. You're out of luck. You're out of luck because we bring it up here. On Larry Connors USA, we're going to nail you each and every time when you talk about transparency. Because you failed in transparency. In the meantime, the attack on U.S. troops in Syria and the Bondi Beach attack in Australia, that is more proof that ISIS still lives. It lives to kill Jews and Americans. Those who thought ISIS was dead, we're realizing they have changed tactics. They are still very much alive. They are looking to cause more chaos and harm to Jews, Americans, and around the world. Retired four-star General Jack King on that threat. When we continue. Plus, our story behind the story today, Paul Harvey, and a very special Christmas story. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years that Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor, I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this. Never has. Wellington will give you an estimate. And you say, Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it, and we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We always knew that they have they can reorganize, rearm, and reequip. And that's why we left soldiers there working with the Syrian Kurds and the Syrian Arabs, just to make certain that doesn't happen at all. And that's why we still have a presence in Iraq for the same reason. You don't want this group to re-energize itself and become a threat to America that it was once before. That's the intent. This is a massive operation that was conducted, nothing comparable to it since 2019. The Jordanians fighters, U.S. fighters, attack helicopters and artillery, over 70 targets, hundreds of munitions involved in this attack to send a message to ISIS. We're not going to put up with this. You're going to attack Americans, you're going to pay a price for this. Vigilance is required here. We're not going to war with ISIS the way we did in 2019. Mm-hmm. This is still a comprehensive but limited attack to send a message to ISIS. We have to keep our eyes on them for sure, just as we're doing in Yemen with al-Qaeda, just as we're doing in Eastern Africa also. These are organizations that want to threaten the United States. There's plenty of radical Islamists out there that are doing harm, but we're not interested in them because they're not going to do harm to us.
That is retired four-star General Jack King. And talking about, we are going after ISIS, where we find them. Now, he's talking about specifically how Trump carried out a military strike on a large scale against targets in Syria 1 week after two U.S. service members and a U.S. interpreter were killed on an attack in the city of Palmyra. Trump had said the other day, I personally ordered this as a massive strike. It was very successful. It was precision. We hit every site flawlessly. We are restoring peace through strength all over the world. And Defense Secretary Hegseth said the operation amounted to a declaration of vengeance, adding that lots of you ISIS fighters were killed in the strikes. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says at least five ISIS members were killed, including the leader of a cell responsible for drone operations. You remember when ISIS used to be and all of these jeeps would fly in their ISIS flag, large columns racing across the desert, and then taking men, lining them up in orange and beheading them in front of cameras? They're still there. They have just realized they've got to change their profile. In other words, we got to hide more. So they've gone more underground. They're still there. And we've seen it in evidence in the Bondi Beach attack in Australia, another ISIS attack. I'm looking at some of the previous reporting on some of this thing. They're pointing out that National Review acknowledges ISIS is back. It's never gone away. It just had to change its shape so it could survive. That attack in Australia, Bill Rogioio, a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense and Democracies, one of the longest-running trackers of jihadist movements, said the Australia attack highlights a persistent miscalculation in the West. He said, we've always been quick to declare terrorist organizations defeated and insignificant, and that could be not farther from the truth. He said, ISIS still remains. The attack in Australia is absolute proof. The ISIS state has not been defeated. And these groups are still able to recruit and indoctrinate people. They still have safe havens. He pointed to the ISIS enduring presence in Afghanistan. He said there's a UN report that some 2,000 ISIS fighters are still there. That's not a defeated group. They're not racing across the desert in their jeeps or whatever they have with the ISIS flags flying from it. But they're there. Israeli officials say the threat revealed in Australia is part of a broader global pattern. And they point out over the past year, plots have been attempted or disrupted across Europe already. You didn't really hear about them because they were not able to carry out a successful attack. In some cases, we got word that they stopped an attack, but in other cases, it just never happened. It never became news. It's news and information only for the intel services. And all you have to know is that no one got killed by their intentions. Another research source looking at the ISIS activities points out governments are on notice. There is a steep rise in the terrorist targeting of religious minorities, particularly those of the Jewish faith community, no surprise there, and Israelis worldwide, again, no surprise. And they point out all of this accelerated in the aftermath of the October 7, 2023 Hamas massacre, killing more than 1,200 in Israel. Do you remember when that happened? Hamas was sure that that would shock the rest of the Muslim jihadist community to come out and support and go after Jews everywhere by the act they carried out attacking that day, October 7, in Israel. And that the attack itself, even if it did not foment what they wanted, it did increase radicalization, supercharging it. And they point out with Israel's war against Hamas, it did give new life for those to attack Jews worldwide. Another reason to radicalize. That's kind of what we had with the situation in Australia. One source acknowledging the attacker's family had been on the radar of domestic intel for some time. The son was known to Australian officials for his extremism since 2019 and his association with an extremist, a habitual violator of Australia's racial hatred laws. And he had at one time had been in ties with a guy who claimed to have been an Australian ISIS commander, currently serving jail time for insurgency and firearms offenses. And they point out that while it looked like a lone wolf attack, it was not a lone wolf attack. They've got folks behind them and underground waiting to spring up. And again, one of the intel sources say, I disagree with the whole lone wolf terminology. Extremist ecosystems continue to provide ideological motivation, guidance, validation, even when the attackers are not alone or even when they're in larger numbers. One senior intel source put it this way, today is ISIS, tomorrow is Iran. And we have to be aware of that. So when Trump struck back against them in Syria after they killed two Americans, he made it clear, we're not going to sit by and let you continue to do this. And yet the Washington Post wants you to believe that Trump is not understanding the piece. They have an opinion piece written by Max Boot. No, it's not John LeBoutier, which we have on often. Max Boot basically wrote, Trump is losing sight of America's great and real terrorist threat. Really? I'm not going to waste your time or mine going into Max Boot's article. The headline alone has me laughing. Trump is losing sight? Riddle me this. Did you ever put such a column out regarding Joe Biden losing sight of terrorists, when in fact he threw our borders open for anyone to come from anywhere, unvetted, into our nation? No, they did not. And that brings the other issue. How many of these cells may be classified or not as lone wolves do we have inside our nation? We have seen words coming out and sources saying that several New Year's Eve festivities are being canceled, like in L.A. They were fearful. They had word that there might be an ISIS attack of some type, a terrorist attack. That would be ISIS in L.A. And other cities with big New Year's Eve celebrations, including New Orleans, they're reconsidering. What should we do? They may carry out their celebration, but they're going to have to enhance security. Anywhere where there's going to be a large gathering of the populace, anywhere where it's difficult to fully install lockdown controls, they're going to strike. They look for that opening. We have to be right every time to stop them. They only need to be right once and only have to be halfway right. If they can kill a few hundred or even a few dozen, they're happy. They believe they succeeded. And they strike more fear across our nation. And I'll remind you, you know why we have so many in this nation right now that could be ISIS-aligned, radicalized? Joe Biden. Thank you, Joe Biden. And all those who went along with, open the border. It's a good idea to have all these people come in. You know, Japan just decided to step up its rules on immigration into Japan and becoming a Japanese citizen. They decided to tighten it. You got to be there 10 years instead of 5, and you have to learn the Japanese language. That makes sense, but I don't hear anybody on the left crying out, oh, Japan is xenophobic. Japan is trying to protect its nation, and they want to be careful about who they let into the nation. That's the sane reality of any leadership. Protect our people. We don't just open the door and let anyone walk in. Would any of the Hollywood elites lower the moat, the gate over their moat, and let all the illegals come onto their land? No, of course not. But they don't mind it if it comes after you. Well, I'm fed up with that attitude, as well you should be. Coming up in the next hour, a little bit lighter for you. What if you won that $1.7 billion Powerball? Dream a little dream. We'll have that in our next hour. But coming up next, our new feature, The Story Behind the Story. And today we focus on Paul Harvey, and in particular, a piece he often would do right around Christmas, the story of the man and the birds.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him, 636-532-1922, or visit ShawRealtors.com. You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month, you need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I am flesh and I am bone. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter and gold. I got fire in my soul. Rise up, ting ting, like glitter. Like glitter and gold. Like glitter. Do you walk in the valley of kings?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
The man I'm talking about was not a Scrooge now. He was a kind, a decent, a mostly good man, generous to his family and upright in his dealings with other men. But he just did not believe in all of that incarnation stuff which the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just did not make sense. And he was too honest to pretend otherwise. He could not swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. He told his wife, "I'm truly sorry to distress you, but I'm just not going with you to church this Christmas Eve." He said he'd feel like a hypocrite, that he'd much rather just stay home, but that he would wait up for them. So he stayed and they went to the midnight service.
Paul Harvey had often repeated around Christmas time the story of the man and the birds. The author was unknown. And Paul Harvey acknowledged that they tried repeatedly to find the source of that story so they could credit him, but they never could identify him. And at one time, Paul Harvey said, "This is one of those stories that we just accept, and unfortunately, we cannot credit the person who wrote it." But he made that a constant annual feature on the Paul Harvey Show. Paul Harvey, of course, an American radio broadcaster for ABC News Radio. Broadcast news and comment on Mondays, or rather on mornings and middays on weekdays, noon on Saturdays, and of course had the rest of the story segment. Yes, the story behind the story is patterned after the Paul Harvey rest of the story. I've often been honored to have folks say, "You know, you remind me a lot of Paul Harvey." That's high praise, and I appreciate it. From 1951 to 2008, Paul Harvey's programs reached as many as 24 million per week. Paul Harvey, born in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1918. He died at age 90 in Phoenix, Arizona. And Paul Harvey, while he was born in Tulsa, son of a policeman, killed by robbers in 1921. He made radio receivers as a young boy, attended Tulsa Central High School, 2 years ahead of future actor Tony Randall. One teacher was impressed by his voice, and she recommended he start working at KVOO in Tulsa, 1933. And he did at age 14. Eventually allowed only to fill in the air by reading commercials of the news. And then he continued while he went to the University of Tulsa, first as an announcer, later a program director. 3 years as a station manager in KFBI radio, later KFDI, in Wichita, Kansas. And from there, he moved to newscasting at KOMA in Oklahoma City, and then to KXOK in St. Louis in 1938, where he was the director of special events and a roving reporter. Paul Harvey working in the St. Louis market at KXOK. Now, KXOK was originally trying to get on the air in 1935, Elsie Roberts, who published the St. Louis Star-Times, applied for a license. He already had a station, KFRU, in Columbia, but he wanted one in the St. Louis market. two stations, KSD and WIL, held a long, lengthy battle to keep Robert's station from getting on the air. But finally, they got the FCC grant, KXOK, given permission to begin building that new station. And eventually, Paul Harvey would show up and become one of their program features. I grew up in West Texas, and my first job in radio was partly to monitor and watch over. I guess I basically held the noon slot, and that included taking Paul Harvey's feed down the line each day. So I was actually able to hear every program he did at noon because I was sitting there listening to it. I had to oversee it while we were doing our broadcast. And, you know, in this business, I've told folks when they first get in, I've had people say, I want to be like you. You don't want to be like me. You want to be your own self. But when you have an influence as strong as Paul Harvey, or even later, Chet Hunling and David Brinkley, Walter Cronkite, folks tend to mimic their delivery, and you don't want to do that. And it's very hard when you have a constant ear for someone else's voice. And Paul Harvey was one of those that would infect young broadcasters, not in a bad way, but it wasn't good for them. You can't mimic, you cannot imitate a Paul Harvey or Walter Cronkite. You have to be yourself. But you had many times where they were not trying to copy him, but they just fell in the laps of using his phrase and his timing. This story that Paul Harvey would tell every Christmas, as he said, it's not about a Scrooge, a decent, mostly good man, but just could not accept and swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. So he's told his family, I'm going to stay home, as they went to the midnight service. Paul Harvey picks it up.
When he went to the front door to investigate, he found a flock of birds huddled out there miserably in the snow. They had been caught in the storm. In a desperate search for shelter, they had tried to fly through his large landscape window. That was what had been making the sound. Well, he couldn't let those poor creatures just lie there and freeze. So he remembered the barn where his children stabled their pony. That would provide a warm shelter. All he would have to do is direct the birds into that shelter. Quickly, he put on a coat and galoshes, and he tramped through the deepening snow to the barn, and he opened the doors wide. And inside the barn, he turned on a light so the birds would know the way in. But the birds did not come in.
Paul Harvey telling about the man and the birds who's sitting there at home by himself on a Christmas Eve while his family's at midnight mass, and he hears this thudding on the window constantly. He thinks someone is throwing snowballs or something at his window. And he looks out, and as you heard, he sees this flock of birds shivering in the cold and then trying to decide, what can I do to help them? Paul Harvey.
The birds just continued to flop around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them. He could not. He tried shooing them into the barn by walking around them, waving his arms, but instead they scattered in every direction except into the warm lighted barn. And that's when he realized that they were afraid of him. They were afraid of him. To him, he reasoned, I'm a strange, terrifying creature. If only I could think of some way to let them know that they can trust me, that I'm not trying to hurt them, but to help them. But how? Any move he made tended to frighten them and confuse them. They just would not follow. They would not be led or shooed because they feared him.
They feared him. So that brings them to the point of what can they do at that point. Now, put yourself in that position. You probably have been there at some point. You've seen animals in fear and fright and danger, and you're trying to do what you can to help them, but you cannot communicate to them. They do not know that you're trying to help them. They may rebel and fight against you. Well, for that matter, sometimes kids do the same thing, do they not? When you're trying to help them, you're trying to show them what they should be doing, and they just fight against you. But again, when you look at another creature, they have no relationship to humans. They do not understand whatsoever. That was the whole impact of this story that Paul Harvey would tell every Christmas, The Man and the Birds. And yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. It's not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
And he thought to himself, if only I could be a bird now, if I could be a bird and mingle with them and speak their language and tell them not to be afraid, then I could show them the way to the safe, warm barn. But I would have to be one of them, wouldn't I? So they could see and hear and understand.
That line and what the man realized he had to do set in motion everything that comes with the story of Jesus. God sending his own son to earth to live among us, suffer us with us, and then die for us so he can save us. That was a telling message with the man and the birds. But it took a story like this for a lot of people to understand. And this story, no doubt, had a lot of impact upon those non-believers. Those who did not believe in Jesus, did not believe that he came and walked the earth, did not believe that he was the Son of God. And this story, the man and the birds, especially listening to Paul Harvey tell it, it locks you into the belief. This is what God did in trying to communicate to us, mortal beings, when we either feared or did not understand God. I'm going to go back in and pick up that part of the story of Paul Harvey and let him finish it for you.
He thought to himself, if only I could be a bird now, if I could be a bird and mingle with them and speak their language and tell them not to be afraid, then I could show them the way to the safe, warm barn. But I would have to be one of them, wouldn't I? So they could see and hear and understand. At that moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears above the sounds of the wind. And he stood there listening to the bells. Adeste Fidelis. Listening to the bells, feeling the glad tidings of Christmas. And he sank to his knees in the snow.
That's powerful. Powerful words, certainly delivered by a man who knew the power of words and how to make the most of the delivery. A man who admitted, I don't believe in all that incarnation stuff that the churches proclaim at Christmas time. It just didn't make sense. And I'm too honest to print otherwise. Pretend, and I'm just not going to swallow the Jesus story about God coming to earth as a man. A lot of folks go down that road. And in this case of the story of the man and the birds, the man told his family, I don't mean to distress you, but I'm just not going to church this Christmas Eve. I would feel like I'm a hypocrite, so I'll just stay home. And then the birds came. If you have children, grandchildren, relatives of any age who have not heard that story, I strongly encourage you to put it in front of them, especially this season. Every Christmas gets more and more commercialized unless you are determined to make sure we recognize Christmas for the value it really is. the birth of our Savior. You listen to that story and you think about how would God reach mankind? You go through the Old Testament, he was always seen as creating fear. You must adhere to my commandments or I will punish you severely. And we could not live up to those commandments. We could not live to any of the laws and rules put down in the Old Testament. But when God sent his Son as a payment for our sins, we can approach God and appear as clean as the fresh-blown snow, free of sin and guilt. Is there anyone out there that thinks they are free of sin and guilt? You're wrong. You're not. None of us are. We're all sinners. And this man in that story, as told by Paul Harvey, recognized that I don't really believe. I just don't believe. But when he sees these birds suffering in the snow and does everything he can to take care of them, just showing a side of humanity, not a religious act, but an act of humanity. He just cannot get them to follow. They won't be shooed into a direction. They won't follow him. And the thought comes to him, if only I could be like them, one of them. My friends, for those who still question Christ, now I put this story in front of you for at least a consideration. It's the first step. I want to take a moment now. We have another hour coming up, but I do want to take a moment now to wish you and your family a most blessed Christmas and honor the spirit of Christmas. Which brings us to our pledge. One nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. You and I might have something in common. Back pain. I can tell you where I go for help. Esquire Sports Medicine. The spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help on Big Bend, just north of Highway 40, 314-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Great patio season to enjoy any of the Cafe Napoli locations. How about the Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield? Enjoying coal-fired pizza, nothing else like it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. A few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, where you can enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook for details. Plus, gift cards for friends. I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing. You don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.